This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
All right, y'all, it's 2020, and it's time for me to grow up, let go of some childish things. Clearly, there's a line between admiration and harassment, and possibly I crossed that line. So it is with a heavy heart that I say goodbye, Rhapsody. Let's get to the show.
What is TWS podcast episode? Whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast, and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rhett. All right, we gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch, and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts. How many tries to take?
Damn. I keep my head high. I got my wings to carry me. I don't know freedom. I want my dreams to rescue me.
I keep my faith strong. I ask the Lord to follow me. I've been unfaithful. I don't know why you call on me.
All right, welcome to the What Is TWS podcast. This is my first episode of the new year. So I'm feeling pretty good. As always, I am J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. Thank you for joining me, lending me your ear for a little bit. Try to make it worth your time. So as far as the intro, had to say goodbye to Rhapsody. You know, I still hold her in the highest esteem, but I'm gonna let that go. Move on with my life. Focus on other things. As far as the show, I've decided that the intro music don't have to have nothing to do with the topic. I'm just gonna play what I like, what makes me feel good, what makes me happy, what gets me hyped up for the show. So started with some J. Cole this time, like. I like the intro to that. I like how the way it starts out. I was a big Show Tunes fan growing up. My mom got me all the soundtracks to like Cats and all that type of stuff. So takes me back to a happy moment in my childhood. All right, let's see what else. I'm trying to switch this pattern up because it is becoming a pattern. And I don't like it. I keep like planning to do something with the homies. I keep planning to have Ross. And AJ, also known or will now furthermore be known as Apple Juice, on the show. But we make plans and then like the day hits and I don't know, shit go left. I ain't feeling right. The playoffs is on something, whatever. Something happens and we don't record. And then I get to the point where I'm like, man, I'm just not going to put out an episode that week. And then like Monday will come and something especially inspirational will happen, and I come and I do one of those episodes where I try to be positive and talk about nice stuff. And those are cool. I just don't think they should be like every week. I'm always going to be positive. I'm always going to talk about positive recovery things, or mental health is always going to be a huge topic for me. And I'm always going to try to be of service and do things for my listeners and provide some insight. My unique brand of insight for my listeners. But a lot of times I'm just going to talk about whatever's off the top of my head. I think I got to get back to mixing it up a little bit. So I'm mixing it up. This is one of those weeks where I was supposed to do something with Juice and them. Didn't happen. So you stuck with me. All right, so 2020 is here. Again, my first episode of the new year. I apologize for taking 2 weeks off. But it's been a lot going on with me. You know, I got some really big moves coming up in the very, very near future. Some huge steps for me. Some service opportunities. Some chances for me to get out of my shell a little bit and be uncomfortable. And I'm learning in the process of this recovery and becoming a new person or being different and developing different habits that I sometimes need to look for the things that make me uncomfortable. Because to quote the millionth cliche or whatever, like, you know, it's the things that make you uncomfortable are usually where you grow. So I'm going to try to grow a little bit. I hope y'all grow with me. The show is going to grow a little bit. I got some ideas for some spinoffs and some different things I want to do with different people that might not fit directly under the umbrella of the What Is TWS podcast. So you may see some different names for shows, and they may become consistent things. I don't know. I'm spitballing. I'm just having a good time. I'm thinking of 2020 as a, you know, just this is. And I hate to do this. I hate to be like, I'm not the New Year's resolution type of guy. Like, I hate those things. And I'm not making resolutions. I just feel like, you know, why not use this time of year as just the springboard to do some shit? Like, if there's been anything holding me back from trying something out, let me just decide that, you know, this new year starts with no obstacles, but just no hesitation, no barriers between me and any of my ideas. I'm a try shit, I'm a fail, I'm gonna do my best. Cat Williams, trying shit, don't work. I'm gonna do all of that this year. Like, I'm gonna do all of that from now on. Let me stop saying this year. It has nothing to do with 2020. So that's what's good with me. That's what's new with me. Let's see. I'll speak for the rest of the crew that's normally here with me since they flaked out on doing a show with me. I don't think anything is fucking new with Ross. He's just Ross. He's gonna always be Ross. He did almost exactly predict the score to the LSU Clemson game, so he has now earned the moniker Rostradamus. Feel free to call him that in the streets. But other than that, Ross is Ross. The more interesting of the two, that's fucked up. I apologize, Ross. But more interestingly, Juice, as I affectionately call him, he's in love. And I have to tell you, man, it is disgusting. Like, it is fucking gross. Like, you know, he's a little bit older than me. He resembles a polar bear most of the time. And just, I don't know, like, you've heard him on the show. He's just a cantankerous old angry man, and to see him like all, you know, lovey-dovey and happy and smiling, it is fucking gross. It is, and it's hilarious at the same time, because I think his lady love does not appreciate some of his views, and it's gonna be nice to see how this newfound love in his life changes him, if at all. You know, ladies normally come in your life and change you for the better, so I'm hoping for that. I just wish I didn't have to watch it or see it or hear it or know about it at all. Like, it's just, it's gross. It's really gross. And next time we have him on the show, we're going to get into it. You're going to see how gross it is. It's not just me. It's fucking disgusting. What's been in the news lately? I did want to really quickly, because I feel like there's no way to not talk about this. Oh, yeah, there is. There's a way to not talk about it. But I feel like it needs to be talked about, because I don't know that anybody's going to address this specific part of it that I want to address. So I said I wasn't going to talk about AB no more, but it's impossible because he just continues to be, I don't know, a clearly mentally ill person. I really hope that he gets some help. But in this latest spat, and I didn't look that far into it, because to me the big issue is right there on the surface. But in this latest spat with Antonio Brown, apparently he got into it with the mother of his children. She was at the house. I think she was trying to leave in one of the cars. And, you know, he told her, you don't ride in Bentleys or whatever. The cops were called. It became a thing. Looked like pictures were taken. They appear to have been taken from his phone. So I don't know if he was just like Instagramming the whole shit or whatever. I don't know if that's like the cool thing. That's what we're doing in the streets right now. We Instagramming, you know, spats with our baby mothers or whatever. But at some point during this thing, he decided in retaliation to throw a bag of dicks at her. And I guess, you know, by a bag of dicks, I mean a bag of penis-shaped gummies. And I don't remember the exact caption. It could have been something like, you know, that's all you want anyway, something like that. But the point is, he had this very public spat, police involved. And at the time, the idea that popped in his head was to throw a bag of dicks and take a picture of like the little bag of dicks sitting on the pavement, just still in the package. It's fucking weird. My question for you, the question that I have, and what I think is the real issue, is why did he have a bag of penis-shaped gummies readily available to just run back in the house and throw? Like, you're in the middle of what appears to be a heated argument, and you can recall off the top of your head, I know what I should do. I should go get that bag of dicks and throw it at her. And I know exactly where they are. Like, I know I'll, like, have stuff, and maybe in the heat of the moment, I'll have this idea of something I want to do to retaliate against the person, but then I can't, like, always remember exactly where that thing that I never use is, unless it's something that I use all the time, or I see all the time. Even those things, you know, you see something all the time, and in the moment that you need it, you can't find it. None of this fucking happened. One, he came up with the comeback in the heat of the moment. It usually takes a couple days for guys. We never know the right shit to say right then and there. We're always like, oh man, I should have said, I should have did. Either he had this one in the pocket, like this was just one of those things that we talk about. I've talked about like those real cliche lovey-dovey lines they spit in movies, and you're like, there's no way you could have thought about that off the top of your head. It's kind of how I feel about this one. Like, he had to have had that one in the tuck. Like, next time she breaks bad, I'm going to throw a bag of dicks at her. Like, I don't know. Maybe he bought the dicks for this situation, and that's where he knew where they were. But this is very perplexing to me. Like, I feel like Columbo. I want to investigate this. You know, this is bad. But one more thing. One thing I don't understand. Like, I don't know. I wanted to bring that up because I found it interesting, and I haven't heard anybody ask the question of, you know, why he had a bag of dicks. Like, I read the thing, and I saw the pictures of the gummies on the ground. And at first I laughed, like, he threw, wait, did he? Nah, he didn't. Like, you know, like, that's where it went. Like, why do you have a bag of dicks? That's just my thought. All right, but what I want to say to AB, and what I want to say to a lot of people, and what I want the theme of this episode to be, and oh God, please let me press the right button.
Stop it. Get some help.
Yeah, really. Stop it. Get some help, AB. You got to see it's spiraling out of control at this point. And you got to see this is not a good look. I think his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has decided to cut ties with him until things change. He didn't make it sound like it was a permanent decision, but it was definitely this is a prompt for you to go get some help. Like, I'm not unwilling to work with you ever, but I'm unwilling to work with you in your current state. Like, people around you have to be seeing that something's wrong. Man, just stop and talk to somebody. Just talk to someone and see from an outsider's perspective whether or not your actions right now seem logical. Because I know in your mind they do. I know this all makes sense in your head. I've been there. But just talk to somebody. And even when you're telling them the story, you'll hear how fucking insane it sounds. So stop, man. Really, stop. All right. Here's something else that's been bothering me that I've seen a lot recently. And it's been bothering me for a while. And just now is it starting to really come to the surface and be like, this is a huge problem. So I've been watching a lot of the NFL playoffs, and I'm noticing a lot of commercials for the spiked water. I think Budweiser has a new one. They have a new alcoholic water that they're selling. And I don't understand why this is a thing. Now, I will admit, at the height of my drinking, I tried alcoholic water. I was trying to mix it up. I had drank every other kind of thing there was to drink. You know, I was drinking so much that I'm looking at like pitchers of vodka and getting sick, you know, looking at bottles of whiskey and just, ugh, I didn't, I'm like, man, what can I get? I really don't want any beer. And it's like, these alcoholic sparkling waters. And some reason, like cranberry sparkling water with alcohol in it sounded like a good idea. Let me tell you, as a connoisseur of all things intoxicating. Disgusting. It's fucking disgusting. I really don't understand why it is a thing. I think we need to keep certain shit separate. Like, there's nothing healthy about that. I understand the red wine thing, and maybe that's a thing. And I think people still use that as an excuse to have a little more wine than you're supposed to. But there's nothing healthy about, like, sparkling water. Like, sparkling water with alcohol in it. Like, you're not doing yourself a favor. This is not a better alternative. It's disgusting. It probably would have been cheaper to just buy liquor, take the shot, and chase it with some sparkling water. I will endorse that. I've done it. It works. But just the idea of spiked water, like, what are we going to spike next? This has gone entirely too far. Entirely too far. This is in the realm of the stupid. We gotta chill.
Stop it!
Like, really, really gotta chill.
S-T-O-P, new word, I-T.
So, that's my advice to Budweiser. Stop it. You've gone too far. Somebody else that needs to chill is the shame community. This whole shaming thing. So, I saw recently, I think the Breakfast Club talked about it. And Ye seemed to get real upset. I don't know why he was so upset about this. But Jillian Michaels, whatever, I think the lady from, like, The Biggest Loser, she got in a little trouble over some of her comments about Lizzo. So apparently somebody was talking to her, and they were talking about how great Lizzo is. And Jillian Michaels, and I don't have the audio, and these are not exact quotes, so if I get it wrong, fuck it, I get it wrong. But Jillian Michaels made the comment to sort of say, like, we should be celebrating her for her music. If her music is good, and I don't listen to any of it, I can't tell you I've heard any of it. It's cool. I mean, if everybody likes it, it's cool. I don't listen to it because of who I've come to learn that she is through social media. I'm just not plugged in that way. I miss a whole lot. But anyway, she was just saying, like, we should be celebrating her because she makes good music, that she's an artist. This whole body image discussion shouldn't even be a part of it. Shouldn't be a part of it. And somebody, you know, kept pushing the issue as to, you know, kind of why she was saying that. And she's just like, you know, it's not in any way healthy. I understand it's okay to feel good about yourself, you know, and to love yourself in whatever, you know, shape you're in. But if you're looking for people to celebrate sort of you being unhealthy, she didn't think that was a great idea. Like, you know, obesity and being overweight is tied to too many health issues, you know, that are currently epidemics in the United States. And she just didn't think that should be a part of the discussion. Like, let her be an artist, let her be a great artist. But why does part of the celebration have to include, you know, her weight, as if that is one of the things to celebrate? And whether you agree with what she had to say or not, she took a lot of heat about it. You know, again, she's being accused of body shaming. I think Lizzo made her way back to social media because I think she's off of, is it Instagram or Twitter? She's off of one of them because there was too much negativity. But she made her way back to social media or to some outlet to address Jillian Michaels' comments. And I don't know the exact quote, but it was something like, you know, keep my name out your mouth, or you tasting my vag, or something like that. It was something pretty crude. And I just, you know, again, I'm okay with this world where everybody has a platform. I'm taking advantage of it. You know, everybody has a platform. Everybody gets to be their authentic selves and put that out there for the world to see. And you don't have to hide, and you don't have to feel a certain way about who you are. What I continue to disagree with, and what I don't like, and what I saw exhibited in this situation, is that everybody gets to be their authentic self, and nobody can say anything about it. And I don't think that that's the lesson to teach. I don't think the lesson is feel good about yourself because nobody can say anything bad about you. The thing is to feel good about yourself. Feel good about yourself regardless of what anybody says. And understand and appreciate their right to say it, because it's the same right that allows you to put your authentic self out there. Like, if I want to say whatever I want to say on this podcast, there's nothing that prevents me from saying it and then publishing it. People don't have to listen to it. People can listen to it and have a negative opinion of it. People can listen to it and have a positive opinion of it. But none of that prevents me from doing what I'm doing. And none of that, and no negativity should stop me from doing what I'm doing. If I truly, like I'm trying to do when I put myself out there, say that I'm good with myself. If I'm good with myself, then you over there not being good with me really doesn't matter. And if you say something about me that's not true, if you say something about me that I believe is purposefully hurtful or demeaning or derogatory, then we can have words and I can take issue with that. But if you just simply expressing your opinion, and in this case, I guess it was a medical opinion. It blended into more than a medical opinion. But regardless, I think the lesson, I just fear the idea that we're trying to make it so that people feel good about themselves because nobody's allowed to say anything bad. And I don't think that is a world any of us really want to live in. And I don't think that is the lesson we should be teaching our children. My mama said a lot of things. And I sounded like the water boy right there. My mama used to tell me all the time, because I was a small kid. I'm still a small man. I'm not physical specimen by any stretch of the imagination. But anyway, I was a short, skinny kid, and I got picked on a lot, and got made fun of a lot. And my mother said some things that resonate with me to this day. She's like, when people say something about you don't like, in her mind, and I agree with this, you have two choices. You can A, either change the thing that they are talking about, they're making fun of you for, so that they can't make fun of you for it anymore. But then I guarantee you, they'll just find something else. Or B, you can learn to not care. What she was teaching me in that was that C, stop them from saying it, is not an option. That's not the place to go. You don't have that kind of power or control. You shouldn't want to have that kind of power or control. You can either come to terms with who you are and not care if they don't like it, or you can change so that they can't say it anymore. But those should really be the only, two alternatives. My mother told me it doesn't matter, what kind of person you are, how good you are, what you do, how talented you are. Another one of my mom's famous sayings is, they talk shit about Jesus Christ and he was perfect. There's nothing you're ever going to do that's going to be above any sort of criticism. And to try to create an environment where criticism is outlawed that's not democracy. It's not freedom. So, be your authentic self, be your real self, but understand that comes with criticism. And you can strengthen yourself and your ability to overcome that criticism. Not somehow point the finger back at it like, how dare you have something to say? Because how dare you have something to say? How dare you be out there? Or you're out there because you should be? You're free? Same thing. I don't know.
Stop it. Get some help.
All right. Anyway, let's see. What else do we have on the agenda? I went a little too further in that. A little too far. I don't have words. All right. So let's go to the recovery side of things. I realized something about myself not too long ago. I just celebrated 11 months of sobriety on the 15th of January, and I'm trying not to do this, but in my mind, there is that clock ticking down to a year, and I'm trying to recognize that a year is, in by no stretch of the imagination, a a finish line. It is it's probably the beginning. It's probably a way to signify that I've spent all this time training and I've gotten some of these concepts down. I understand them. And now I got a lifetime to apply them. You know, I've been training for this marathon, and now I got to actually go run the marathon. And so it's not over. It is just beginning. And if there was any question in my mind whether or not I was still in danger of falling into my old way of thinking and falling into addictive behavior, if there was any question that I was still an addict and I still think just as irrationally and think some of the crazy shit that probably Antonio Brown is thinking right now, if there was any question that was still there, it was answered for me this week. I was reading a story. And this was a story of an alcoholic or an addict and how they, you know, overcame it. And they were talking about, I think, like a time. Either they were in the hospital or being cared for. But anyway, what they were talking about was that they used to hide their alcohol in peroxide bottles. You know, and so here's to show you just how messed up my mind is, because I really don't remember. I can't even tell you details about the story. Like, I can't even really set up the story the way I want to, because I don't fucking remember. But what I do clearly remember is that they hid the alcohol in peroxide bottles. And the first thought that popped in my head was, fuck, why didn't I think of that? Like, why? My wife would have never thought to look in the peroxide. Like, I could have been drinking anytime I went to the bathroom if they was in the peroxide. Like, that is, I felt like I missed. If I could go back and redo my alcoholic career with this new tool of hiding alcohol in peroxide bottles, oh my God, the levels of depravity I could have reached. Like, I was so upset with myself. I can't tell you the story. I can't even tell you the point other than, like, anybody can recover or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't the important detail to me. The important detail is that I had spent so much energy finding ways to hide my behavior and to find perfect lies and stories and alibis and hiding receipts and using cash and stashing bottles in high places so short people couldn't find them. Like, I spent a lot of time dedicated to the pursuit of getting drunk, and I never came across the idea of hiding the alcohol in the peroxide bottles, and I was so disappointed in myself. And it's like that was the reminder right there that, yeah, I'm 11 months in and I'm still like, shit, man, I could have put it in her peroxide bottles. Fuck it, let's start over. Let's go back. I can get back to this 11 months, right? I still got time. Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this over again. Like, that's the thought that popped in my head. That is the thought that popped in my head. And I have to tell myself,
stop it. Get some help.
I still got to reach out. I still need to talk to people. I had an incident happen to me this week that really shook me, got me as angry and hurt as I haven't been in the last 11 months. And I really was at times this week, like, if there was ever something that was going to happen to me that was going to make me relapse, it would be something like this. Like, I was at work when, you know, everything kind of hit, and like, I stopped working. I couldn't focus on anything. I was shaking. Like, I was more hurt than angry, because I was angry, but I was hurt because everything that I'm learning right now is telling me I can't retaliate. Like, I can't go out and try to do something hurtful to that person. I can't bring it up and say something mean, like, you know, because I can say some mean shit. I'm pretty fucking good at it. But, yeah, everything that I'm learning is telling me I can't do that. I can't resort to any of the things that I felt like would have given me some relief. I can't be mean. I can't be angry. I can't lash out. I can't drink, you know. Can't disconnect from the world. I can't go back into hiding and go be a hermit again. You know, I can't do all these things. So I just felt like I was going to have to sit there and live with that feeling. And that was, like, unbearable to me. I didn't know how I was going to do You know, I didn't know how I was going to make it to the year, more or less the rest of my life, if I had to sit and live with this feeling. And, you know, luckily, I remembered, you know, some of the things that I've been learning. Also, not just what I can't do, but what I can do, what I should do, what I'm supposed to do. And I started reaching out. I started, you know, talking to people. And at first, it was my little pity party. Like, hey, man, look what happened to me. I'm so pissed off, but I ain't going to drink, though. Like, you know, almost trying to get sympathy and a pat on the back at the same time. Like, you know, I was just going to feed the beast. I was just going to feed that ego that, you know, landed me in rehab. And then it dawned on me that I don't need to just be reaching out. I need to be reaching out to see what I can do for somebody else. Like, how I can get out of my head and, you know, get away from the problem for long enough to realize it's not really what I was thinking it was. And that I can change the feeling. I can change the feeling without having to drink, without having to do any of that destructive shit I used to do to myself for years. I can change the feeling by just getting involved with somebody else, just being a friend, having a conversation, you know. And I'm not saying you got to, when I say service, you don't got to go out and like, hey, man, can I cut your grass for you or something like shit. Like, sometimes it's just, what's up? Because there are people who are going through maybe what you're going through at the same moment. And the fact that somebody remembered them, the fact that somebody's thinking about them could be enough to pull them out. That's being a service. And so, yeah, just saying what's up. Sending a message, how you doing? What's going on? You know, how's everything with you? I think I even went to Facebook and was like, yo, what can Flan do for you? What can Flan do for you today? And I needed that. I didn't get a whole lot of responses. So fuck y'all, you missed out. But I needed that. It just gave me a moment. I just started getting involved in stuff. I started working on a project that I got going on that I needed to dedicate some time to. You know, and just in doing that, you know, now I can think about that very incident that had me so pissed off that I was shaking in my chair at work. And it's just like, Because I know I have coping mechanisms now. I know I have healthy coping mechanisms. I don't have to go back to what I used to do. I can do some new things, and these new things open new doors, and my life just gets fuller and richer by doing these things rather than retreating into my hole and my life getting smaller and more claustrophobic. I guess I said I was going to, you know, keep sobriety and recovery and mental issues as a major topic to me. So I did that. But yeah, if you're mulling over, you know, if you're mulling over something, if you're having your pity party, you know, Just check on your strong friend. Check on the same homie that you want to check on, that you want to come check on you, that you want to reach out to for help. Why don't you just reach out to them and just ask them how they're doing? Instead of reaching out to them to tell them your story or to get some people on your side or to get some sympathy or some pats on the back, just reach out to those same people and just say, what's up? What's good? How you doing today? I was thinking about you. Man, we ain't talked in a while. You all right? Everything straight? Instead of pulling them into your shit and getting deeper into it, it'll take you out. Damn. All right, so I ain't really want to go that far in anything fucking deep. So
stop it.
That was for me. All right. Last but not least, I was gonna talk about Trump, but I'm not. I don't want to do that anymore either.
STOP, new word, IT.
Not gonna do it. I'll wait till Juice comes on the show and then we can have all that fun. But I ain't wasting no more words on that one. I do want to talk about is Ad 2, the rapper on the label with Rhapsody. But Ad 2, I slept on the album that he put out last year, the Jim Crow the Musical. You know, listen, I think I knew the album was coming out, and then like other projects came out at the same time, and I got like so caught up in them and, you know, hyping them that this is dope, that I just like I completely forgot to listen to Jim Crow the Musical, and I like finally rediscovered it maybe a week ago, and it's, man, like, it's amazing. I'm trying to figure out why we aren't talking about Ad 2 in the same conversation when we talk about Cole and Kendrick. Like, I feel like talent, content-wise, and even, you know, it just in the artistry and the creativity of the project he put together, Jim Crow the Musical, I think he kind of deserves to be in that conversation with Chance, also from Chicago. I don't know. So, yeah, I wanted to share a little bit of that with you real quick, because I love music. I love bigging up music. I think that needs to be more part of the show. One of my joys in life is sharing good music with good people. So it's one song in particular that I've been stuck on for a minute. Damn it, I got to figure out how to move around this board while I'm recording. There we go. All right, so quick snippet.
Wasn't sure this day ever would come. Just because you want a girl don't mean you ready for one. Give you the closet and I split the bedroom with you. Trying to sweep you off your feet and jump the broom with you. I mean, for real.
I've been doing my own thing. Yeah, I'm telling you, and that line, like, they're probably my favorite line of the album. It hit me at the time where, like, thinking about love, you know, going through, you know, just recently being divorced, and thinking about love and relationships was just painful for me. And typically a love song like that would have taken me to a place I ain't want to be, but that joint is just so melodic and beautiful. Like, I'm gushing over this song, but I love this song, man. It's dope. That's Jump the Broom from the album Jim Crow the Musical, Add 2, Jamla. I'm also psyched because he retweeted my tweet. I tweeted something about his album and he retweeted it, and I thought that was dope, so you get a shout out on the show. Any other artists, you retweet my shit, you get a shout out. I'm just saying. All right, with that said, I think we're gonna close out this episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for just letting me ramble on about whatever. If you got something out of it, great. If you didn't, sorry, I don't know. If you know any people in the Austin area that are, or any men in the Austin area that are looking for a safe place to continue their journey of recovery, if they need a place to stay, they want to be around people that are also in recovery, working toward the same goals, they understand what they're going through. I am a resident at an Oxford house. I've been in an Oxford house for about 7-8 months now, and we are opening a new Oxford house off Palmer and McNeil in North Austin. We are definitely looking for people who are, who, again, like I said, need a place to stay or interested in a place to stay. If you know somebody, you know, please hit me up. If you know somebody or you yourself are interested, or if you just want to know more about Oxford House or anything like that, if you just want to talk, you know, hit me up. Flan@whatistws.com. FLAN at whatistws.com. Yes, we're looking for new people. You will be my roommate, so you get to live with me. That is also an added bonus, thrown in for free. You'll be my roommate. You get to live with me. And, yeah, so we're looking for people at that house, and we're also looking for people at the house that I am leaving. There will be a vacancy there, and that one is in Cedar Park. So you know somebody. You are that somebody, whatever. Just want general information. Hit me up, flan@whatistws.com. As always, ttcharities.org. Please hit up the website. My man Tavares is always doing something positive and important for the community. Hit up the site, see what they got going on. They always got something going on. Donate what you can, be it books, clothes, money, time, whatever it is you can, even if it's just spreading the word. But ttcharities.org. Please check them out and support them in any way that you can. Other than that, stay tuned for the changes coming. The new show's coming. It's going to be more with Ross and Juice. And, man, until we speak again, be safe, be the light. I did pick a rock out song. And like I said, nothing to do with the episode. It's just because, I don't know, I think it's a fun song. So rock with me. See, I messed up the board. Here we go. Rock with me.